something. He goes around and he just talks about Yeshua, and they had an Orthodox guy that came from Mea Shearim last week, and he walked into the congregation. He said, "I want to talk to the rabbi. I want to know something about Yeshua." And they said, "Well, the closest guy to a rabbi is Joe Shulam." So Joe Shulam sits down with him, and they start going through the Bible and the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah. And the guy says, "Well," he says, "I'm very encouraged by this because now I know I can still be a Jew and believe in Yeshua." He says, "I was reading the New Testament myself, and I think this is right. I see Yeshua as the Messiah," this Orthodox guy. So, very powerful, considering the fact that last year, when I was in Israel, they had posters, they had wanted posters up around some of the Orthodox areas, and we need to pray for them, with Joe Shulam's picture on the wanted poster, and it said, "Watch out for this guy, Joe Shulam, the Notzri, the Nazarene. Watch out for him, because he'll go around teaching about Yeshua." And I wonder if maybe, you know, somebody might put our picture on a poster like that. If that's the worst thing they could think of to say about us, is watch out for this person. He goes around talking about Yeshua. But that was it. That was the wanted poster they had. I got a picture of it over the website. They sent me one. So there's a lot of opposition. But yet at the same time, we do see people who come to faith. Their hearts are open, and when their hearts are open to the truth, Yeshua will come in through that door. You know, God's great, but we need to pray for the believers truly, because they are very much right there at the front of things in more ways than one, and a lot of their people in the congregations are serving in the army too. So we want to especially remember that. Going to talk to you a little bit today about who we came here to see. And we see a lot of things in this time of year. It's just generally a time for reflection, whether you celebrate Christmas or whether you don't. Whether you do or you don't, this time of year, we think a lot about who have we come to see. If we were in Israel, we would have 22 days of Christmas. There are 22 days of Christmas in Israel. I don't know how many of you, but because of all the different Christian denominations in Israel, you start on the 25th of December and you go to the 18th of January. Because on the 6th of January is the Greek Orthodox celebration, and on the 18th of January is the Armenian Orthodox, and the 25th of December is the Latin and Protestant. So, I mean, you have 8 days of Hanukkah, but you have 22 days of Christmas, and then it can be terribly confusing. But even if you are a Jewish Messianic believer in Yeshua and you don't celebrate Christmas, we are still looking at the appearance, or the Advent, because that's just what Advent means. We're still looking at the appearance of Yeshua. He came to us, he says, he came, min hashamayim, from heaven. So at this particular time of year, whether you celebrate 8 days of Hanukkah, or whether you celebrate one day or 22 days of the of any other kind of holiday, we want to look at the appearance of Yeshua. Who did we come to see? Who are you here to see? You're not here to see me, I hope, because I'm just a student of all of this. And my friends and I here, and we all just study the Bible together. So we're here to see the Messiah. That's who we want to see, and we have some company for that. If you want to turn in the book of John, in Yochanan, we'll start out in chapter 12. My eyesight is not as good as it used to be, so you're going to have to kind of bear with me a little bit in some of this. We're looking at some people who came to see Yeshua. And we're looking particularly at one of the festivals of the Feast of Pesach at Passover, when Yeshua was teaching and speaking to the crowds of people. And some people came up out of the crowd. And these particular people that came up out of the crowd were not Jews. These were Yavanim. These were Greeks. These were Gentile people. And in the 12th chapter of Yochanan, in verse 22, particularly, we want to look at that. We're told that Yeshua was speaking and teaching to the crowd, and there were people there who had come to the festival. They were people who came Anashe Yavanim. They were people, they were Greeks, they were Gentiles who had come up nevertheless to celebrate the feast. In the first century time, there were many non-Jews who believed in the God of Israel. These were the Phobimenoi. These were the God-fearers. They weren't converts, strictly speaking, but they believed in the God of Israel. And here they've come, and they want to see Yeshua. And they come, and they approach the Shlachim, the Talmudim, the teachers of Yeshua. And they say to him there, Adon, rotzim anu, v'rot et Yeshua. Sirs, or sir, we would like to see Yeshua. And then it says, Halek Philopas, v'amar le'Andre, he goes to Andrew and Philopas, and they halku v'amru le'Yeshua, and they tell Yeshua. So here are some people who are non-Jews who came to see Yeshua. They want to see the Messiah. And over in John 1, in John 1, in verse 45, we have Philip here, who approaches Nathanael, and this is in the very beginning when the Shlachim, those who are teachers of Yeshua, are first getting together. We have Philopos, Pagash et Nathanael ve'amarlo. Philip goes to Nathanael, and he says, Matzanu et ze shekatav elav Moshe betorah. This is, we have found the one who is written about by Moshe in the Torah. And then they wanted him, come and see, bring to Yeshua. This is the one we have found, Yeshua. And Philip goes to Nathanael and says, come and see Yeshua. We want to go see the one whom Moses wrote about in the Torah. And then when we look into a little bit of the Torah, we want to look into Devarim, which is Deuteronomy 18. In the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, there are two verses in particular. There's 15 and there's 18. And in verse 15 of the 18th chapter, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses the great prophet, is talking to the people. And he is saying that the Lord your God will raise up a prophet from among you, from among the brethren. From the brethren, kamoni, like me, a prophet like me. God will raise him up, Adonai Eloheka, our God, the Lord your God, Tishmaun. Listen to him when he is raised up. When he comes, listen to him. And then in the 18th verse, the Lord is speaking. And the Lord himself now is speaking in verse 18. And he says, I will raise up a prophet from among them, from among their brethren, like unto you, like unto Moses. Kamoka, like unto you, Moses, I will raise up a prophet for them. And I will put my words, Venatati Divrai Pefi, I will put my words in his mouth, Udvar Elohim et kol asher atzunu, and he will speak unto the people all that I command him. A prophet like Moses, who comes working miracles and signs and wonders like Moses. So this is who the people have come in the first century. Jews and non-Jews alike have come to see Yeshua, the one about whom Moses wrote, and the one whom God said, I will raise up from the midst of your brethren, from among you, a prophet like me, and I will put my words in his mouth, so he will speak all that I command him to speak. And in the beginning, in John 1, back in John again, don't lose your place in the book of John, because we want to kind of hang out there a little bit. The book of John introduces us to the prophet like Moses, in whose mouth is the word of God. The book of John, Yochanan, in the first century covenant, which we call the New Testament. In the first century covenant, the book of John is kind of called the Bereshit, the Genesis of the New Testament, because it begins the same way. And as Genesis begins, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve et haaretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the beginning, in John, it says Bereshit. It's the same word. Bereshit haya hadavar. In the beginning was the Word. Vehadavar haya im haElohim. And the Word was with God. VeElohim haya hadavar. And the Word was God. And it says, Hu haya bereshit. He it was who was in the beginning, im haElohim, with God. Hakol nihye al yadav. All that was made by his hand. And only by his hand. Nothing was made. It was not made. So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The word of God is in the mouth of the one who will be raised up to speak all that is commanded by God. Sir, we would see Yeshua. We want to see Yeshua. This is the request of the people of the day, Jews and non-Jews alike. A lot of people came with the idea of seeing Yeshua. We're going to look at just a couple of examples. The shepherds, the Roim. The shepherds that are in our story of the appearance of the prophet like Moses. And the shepherds, we're told a couple of things about these particular shepherds, that they are in the fields of Boaz from the story of Ruth, because this is the ancestral home of David. Remember? Boaz, who was the father of Obed, who was the father of Yishai, who was the father of David, who was ultimately the ancestor of Melech, Yehudim, Yeshua. So the fields of Boaz, this is the ancestral home of the house and the lineage of David. And this is where Joseph and Miriam come, because they are of the house and lineage of David. And they come to Bethlehem Ephrat. And they come here, and this is the ancestral home, and these are the fields of the shepherds, and the fields of the time of Boaz and Ruth. We're told also that the shepherds to whom the angels come to make the announcement of the appearance of Yeshua are keeping watch at night over a flock. In the first place, shepherds never watch flocks at night. This is a mistake, obviously, and the Bible has been miswritten. I'm rewriting this to suit what I... No, that's not. You remember the story of Joseph, when Joseph's brothers take him out and they throw him in the pit, and then they bring a piece of his cloth home, and they say, look, a wild animal must have gotten him, because here's the cloth. What does that mean? That means the shepherds were never responsible for sheep at night, only during the day. If they came out the next day and a sheep had been gotten by an animal and torn up, all they had to do to be absolved of financial responsibility for the sheep was to bring a part of the sheep to the owner and say, look, a wild animal got the sheep last night. I'm not responsible. This was the way it went. That's why Joseph's brothers did that. It was the way of saying, look, we're not responsible for him. An animal snuck in and got him. I mean, we didn't do it. It was that way. It was a legal way of saying, oh, we didn't do it. Who watches over sheep at night? Only one kind of sheep do you have to watch at night. That's the sheep that are grown in the area around Bethlehem that are used for the sacrificial flock, for the sacrifices in the temple. You have to have perfect lambs, right? A perfect lamb, a year old, a male lamb for the sacrifice in the temple, right? Well, these lambs are raised. They're grown. And they're grown 5 miles from the temple down the road in Bethlehem. And this has always been the way since the time of early days, certainly since the time of Boaz. These lambs you can't allow to go wandering around everywhere. And in today in Israel, in the Ol Kedemim, which is the ancient park between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, they have rebuilt this whole area out here to look like the first century. And you can see one of these little towers called a Migdal Eder, the Tower of the Flock, from which shepherds would go up and they could kind of watch out down over the flock. If you were the shepherds charged with watching the lambs that produced the sacrifices, you had to watch them day and night. There were no excuses, because they couldn't be blemished. They couldn't be allowed to go wandering all over the place. So flock is in the singular here. Everywhere else it's flocks. Flock. The flock. What flock? The flock of the temple that they got the sacrificial lambs from. They had to watch them day and night. So when the Bible says that shepherds were in the fields watching over their flock, singular, at night, there's only one flock you had to watch at night. So these shepherds were the shepherds of the sacrificial flock. And in Micah, in the book of the prophet of Micah, chapter 4:8, what does it say? It says, "To you, Migdal Eder, daughter of the tower of the flock, Bat Sion, to you, daughter of Zion, to the tower of the Migdal Eder will come the first announcement of the restoration of the kingdom." It's prophecy in Micah. Just before it says in 5:2, "And you, Bethlehem, though you be small, yet, you know, from you will come the Messiah." So the Migdal Eder is spoken about in the Bible. It's prophesied that this to the Migdal Eder will come the first announcement. These shepherds couldn't leave this flock under pain of excommunication. If you left that flock, you just got thrown out. The priest would throw you out because now, you know, you don't know if the... So what would make those shepherds leave that flock and just walk off into town? What would it be? It could be a bunch of heavenly angels singing about the arrival of the Messiah, of whom Moses wrote when he said, "From among you I will raise up a prophet like me." Listen to what he says. The shepherds left. The only thing that they would induce them to leave this kind of charge of watching the sacrificial flock was to go watch the sacrificial lamb, the Messiah. The Messiah. Those shepherds. It couldn't be any shepherds. It had to be the shepherds charged with the responsibility of watching the sacrificial flock. Those shepherds. God is not an accidental person of literature. Though I want those shepherds to go watch, because there's the sacrificial lamb right there. Not these. These are okay for now. These are a covering for sin. This is the one who will remove sin. You guys get up and go watch this one. That's what's happening here. Is the shepherds came to see who? They came to see the Messiah. They came to see the Lamb of God. That's who they came to see. That's who they came to see. They came to see Yeshua. Who else came to see? Two kinds of ruler. The other thing we want to remember, when Yeshua was born, he was born in a little room, not a feeding trough. The Bible tells us he was born in avus, that he was wrapped, sparganao. He was wrapped in strips of bandage material, like wrapping. And he was laid in avus. The term avus is used all in the Tanakh. It means a granary. It's a place where feed and grain were stored. So it means that he was in a room that was used for the purposes of keeping and storing feed and grain for animals. It doesn't mean he was thrown in a butter churn somewhere or something like that. See? But it was a room that was prepared for them by the owner of the inn. I think the owner of the inn gets a bad rap in history. I think he went out and he prepared this little room for them. They didn't just wander around and stumble into a cave somewhere, because you know why? Do you remember the story when Yeshua is disputing with some of the Pharisees, and he says, "You guys are like whitewashed tombs. You know, you look good on the outside, but inside are old bones." Why did they whitewash tombs? They did that at the three major festivals of the year, when you're required to come up to Jerusalem, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuot, right? Because why? Because people would come from all over Israel, and when they could, everything was booked. So they would camp out in some of these places, in these caves that were used, but not the ones used for a tomb. You couldn't camp out in one used for a tomb, because you would be unclean. So in order to keep people from stumbling into these places, they whitewashed them. So you can't use that one to camp out in, because there's still bones in it. But the caves that had no bones in them, that were used for things like storing grain or storing supplies like wrapping and bandages and gauze and utensils for that, it was like garage, you know. So if the inn is full, but I've got a room out back and I can make up the garage, it's better for a pregnant woman and it gives her privacy. This was more along the line of what was happening right there. So they went out, and here's how he was wrapped. Bible says, sparganao, he was wrapped, bound up. Two kinds of ruler that came to see Yeshua. We'll read in Matthew 8, in chapter 5 through 13, there was a centurion who came to see. Remember, he came to see because his young servant was home in bed, paralytic. He was paralyzed. He was paralyzed and grievously tormented. And so he comes to Yeshua, and he wants healing for his young servant. And Yeshua says, "I will come and heal him." And the centurion says, "No, all you have to do is just say the word, because I'm a man in authority. I have people in authority over me to whom I must bend, kafuf. And I have people under me who must bend to me." Kafuf is the word in Hebrew to use in that passage. "And so if you will just say the word, disease will have to bend to you." I know you have authority over disease, and it will have to bow to you. And Yeshua says, wow, I haven't found such a great faith as this, even among people in Israel. And the man was healed. We're talking about healing, and we're praying for the people that have issues of health in the congregation. There are two main things going on here. If you look in the Hebrew, there's a word called therapeuo, from which we get our word therapeutic. Yeshua, when he talks to the centurion, says, I will come, and he uses this word therapeuo, and I will come and treat him. And the centurion says, oh, if you would just come and iastomai. Iastomai was another word. The difference in these two terms is that when you use the first term for therapeutic, it means whole healing. Because we're in the business, Yeshua is in the business of healing more than just the body. We're talking about the health of the spirit, the mind, and the body. The centurion is looking for immediate physical healing. He's looking for, I want to get this healed right now, you know, that's causing. And Yeshua, in his mind, Yeshua is offering to treat afflictions of the mind, afflictions of the spirit. It's nice to know that when we stand up here and pray, and when everybody was praying, and Greg and Robert and everybody, that when we pray for health, Yeshua is concerned not just with the cut on our finger, which he's concerned with too, but that he helps us overcome depression and grievance and hurt and wounding of all kinds, of the spirit and of the heart and of the mind. Yeshua heals wholly, right? Therapeuo. Yeshua. So this guy came to see what? He came to see the healer. And Yeshua gave him healing more than he asked for. The guy was not only healed of his physical ailment, because we're told that he was healed from that hour, but he was also healed in mind and spirit. This guy became a believer, the centurion, the man of authority who sought the man of authority to whom even sickness would bow. So he came to see a healer. And then another ruler, a different kind of ruler, was a guy named Nakdimon. Nakdimon is better known to us in literature as Nicodemus, who's the guy that gives the ruler. He was an archon, a ruler of the Pharisees, the Perushim, the Pharisees, who came to Yeshua by night. He comes to Yeshua by night, and he comes to see what? He comes to Yeshua, and what does he say? He's in. He's also in the book of John in chapter 3. Let's see. We can get back there. If you kind of bear with me a little bit. If we can get back to the to John in the third chapter, it's in John 3, 1 through about 15 or so. In here. There we go. I had my places marked when I came up here, and now I don't, so you'll have to wait for me to catch up. Okay. So what does he do? Nakdimon, or Nicodemus, who is a ruler, an archon of the Pharisees, he comes and he says, Rabbi, my rabbi, my teacher, Rabbi, anachnu yoda'im ki me'et Elohim, we know that you are from God, that you are come from God, ba'at lechyot more, to be a teacher. We know that you are a teacher come from God. What did God tell Moses that he would do? We'll send you a prophet from among your brethren like Moses. Listen to him. He says that he knows that he is a prophet, a teacher, come from God. No one could do these miracles that you do unless God is with him. Im Elohim ito. No one could do what you do unless God is with you. So two things are established. Yeshua is from God. God is with Yeshua. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. Right? Okay. I see you're getting a little bit of a flash there. I got to kind of hurry along. So Nakdimon comes, and he knows that Yeshua, he's looking for a teacher of God. Nakdimon also shows up again at the execution of Yeshua with Yosef Ramataim, carrying spices and what? Bandages to wrap Yeshua. Yeshua comes into the world being wrapped in bandages, and he goes out of the world being wrapped in bandages. Yeshua came for to die, to die for us. And this is how our sin is removed, by a living sacrifice. This is who the shepherds came to see. At the execution of Yeshua, the people came to see the sacrificial lamb being sacrificed, the one who came into the world wrapped and bound in cloths, wounding cloths. Luke uses the word for bandage when he says wrapping. And I had it written down. But you'll just have to kind of take my word for it, I guess. But he was wrapped when he came in and wrapped when he went out. And the term is used for cloths of wounding or bandages. So he goes out at the execution, and at the execution it's written right over him in the Greek and Hebrew and Latin. Hine Yeshua Hanotzri Melech Yehudim. Here is Yeshua, the Nazarene King of the Jews. And it's written in Greek. Basileus Yehudaios. So he is also written in Latin. Rex Judaorum. So he is the Melech, the Basileus, the Rex. Every language they could think to write it in, they wrote it up above him. Hine Yeshua Melech Yehudim. So who did all these people come to see? They came to see the King of the Jews. They came to see the King of the Jews, but not everybody would accept him as the King of the Jews. But they came to see the King of the Jews. They came to see. It was written right there. Even the guy executed next to him who was blaspheming him. But ultimately, he turns around and he says, you know, this isn't right. This guy hasn't done anything wrong. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, Gan Eden. When you come into Gan Eden, remember me. So he was there to see a Savior. Right? He was in the, I mean, there's a guy being crucified. What's he? Yeah, there's no mistake about this. You don't want to make a mistake now. He needed a Savior. Yeshua was his Savior. He was the healer to multitudes of people. He was the prophet like Moses who came. He was the Messiah. He was the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, the one who took away sin. He was all these things. All these people came. Lord, we want to see you. We want to see Yeshua. All these people. I gave a couple of scriptures to my friends. Maybe they'll read them. And you can just stand up. You can come up here if you want. So we're looking at how in the end time, everybody will see Yeshua. And maybe if Rob and Melissa will read what I gave them to read. No, either one of you could go first. And all the inhabitants of the earth will recognize and will know that to you every knee will bow, talking to the Lord, every tongue will swear, to before your face, O God, all the inhabitants of the world will bow and will prostrate themselves, Yekar Yetenu, and will give glory to your precious name. Now this is from the Elena, this is from the prayer book. From the Tanakh, from the Brit Hadashah, from the first century covenant, from the Bible, from the writings, from the Torah, from the prayer book, from the liturgy, it's all the same. People will bow and bend the knee before God, and people will see God. People will see God, and we want to be seekers of God. One final parting shot from the story in the book of the Thessalonians. And this is from Shaul, the teacher. We don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who are asleep, so that you do not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, Techiat HaMatim, the rising from the dead, the resurrection, even so through Yeshua, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. We will not lose those who have gone before us. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, left until the coming of the Lord, shall not go before those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, and with the sound of the call of the messenger, the angel, and with the sound of the shofar Elohim, the shofar of God. And the dead in Messiah will rise first, and then we who are alive will be together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be Yachai, Yachai. We will be Yachid im Elohim. We will be with God. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We will see again those who have gone before. We are not without hope. Our question today is, who have you come here to see? Yeshua the Messiah, Yeshua the sacrificial lamb, Yeshua the healer, Yeshua the Notzri, Melech Yehudim, King of the Jews. Well, we say Yeshua is the King of the Jews. We say he is a healer. We say he is the sacrificial lamb. We say that he brings life, and in him is life. Because in him from the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God and was with God. And he is that prophet wrote about, and for, since from the time of Moses, that God will raise him up to be our healing, and the one who heals us, mind, spirit, body, soul, so that we do indeed have the hope of living again, and we will be with the Lord always with these, comfort one another with these words, that we have life in Yeshua. Amen.